Chafdalin of the Bays, last white line. Tanu Rabbanan. Haya Yashin B'Talisoi. If a person is sleeping with his in his talis, which really means in a sheet, right? Sleeping in a sheet. Now, as we've discussed, in earlier times, people slept completely undressed. And here he's sleeping under a sheet, and it's cold outside. So he doesn't want to stick his head out of the sheet. As long as he doesn't stick his head out of the sheet, he's exposed to his own nakedness, right? So, what should he do? Choytzetz v'talisa al tzavari. Pull the sheet around your neck. V'karei kriyashma. Then you could say kriyashma. Then it's really as though you're wearing something that is separating you from the erva. That's already like wearing a robe with a hood. What's that? Oh, so that's clear. So first we're saying that it's enough to just wrap it around your neck. But now next is v'yesh oimrim, what some say, al liboy. This is basically what you said, you have to pull it around your heart. Meaning, you're going to pull it around your neck, you still have your heart exposed to your nakedness. And this, Tana is saying, it's not just that your eyes can be exposed to your nakedness, your heart cannot be exposed to your nakedness either. Now, the Tanakhama doesn't require that. Tanakhama said, just pull it around your neck, and then your eyes are no longer exposed to your nakedness. But he doesn't tell you how to take care of the heart. On the Chof Dalit Omid Beis, first wide line. So the Tanakhama Re Libay Roya Serva. The Tanakhama, what does he do about that? You still have the heart exposed to the nakedness. What's with that? So Kosova, he holds liboy roya es ha'erva muter. No, if your heart is exposed to your nakedness, that's okay. The main thing is that your head should not be, your face should not be. Okay, so that's our machlokes.
Yeah.
Welcome. Help yourself to a Gemara.
Okay. Thank you.
What's that? Yeah. Just move it over. Okay. So, okay, this is a short but fundamental machlokes. The Gemara took up all of a line, but it's very important in halacha. We're on Daf Chof Dalet Amud Beis, the first wide line, second of the widest lines. So, lemaisa, we rule in accordance with the Tanakam. We just saw machlokes here. You're definitely not allowed to be able to see your genitals, your nakedness when you're saying Kriyashma or davening, etc. And here we have a machlekes whether you have to ensure that your heart also is not exposed to your nakedness. So the yesh oimrim, the second opinion, says you have to make sure to have something separating your heart from the nakedness as well. Lamaisa, this is how we rule, and therefore, for example, this could come into play. Like we said, okay, in the case of the Gemara, it comes into play in a person who's undressed under a blanket. If you're undressed under a blanket, you have no clothing on under a blanket, you're not allowed to say kriyashma until you pull something around your waist. But also, take another case into account. What happens if you are wearing a robe? You're wearing only a robe, only a bathrobe. You want to say asher yotzar. Right? That's a certainly inconceivable scenario. You can't do that unless you tie the belt around yourself. You have to somehow be pulling something tight between your heart and your nakedness, so that your heart is not exposed to your nakedness. No. So under the blanket together, you would have to pull it tight around your somewhere under the heart. Okay. What's that? I don't know if there's a halacha criterion for that. Pants is fine. Yeah. Pants is fine. That would be fine. It's only a problem if a person is mamish not wearing anything, or if he's wearing one thing that goes from, you know, top to bottom, like a bathrobe. Daf Chof Dalet Amud Beis, the second wide line. Okay. Alright. Chof Dalet Amud Beis, second wide line. Omer Avuna. Omer Abichon. Now Rav Huna says in the name of Rabbi Yechon, Haya mahalech b'mevoyes hametunafos. If a person is walking through a dirty street, let's remember again, in those times, the bathroom was often out in the street. So a person is walking through a dirty street, a street with, you know, feces along the sides of the street, and he wants to say Kriyat Shema. So listen to this: Meniach yodai al piv, you cover your mouth with your hand, v'kayre Kriyat Shema. You say Kriyat Shema. Now, even though we've seen before that you are not allowed to say Kriyat Shema in the presence of filth, here it's saying no. You're walking through a filthy street. You can say Kriyat Shema if you cover your hand, if you cover your mouth with your hand. Okay, we'll have to understand this, because this seems to be going against an explicit pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk says that you cannot recite any divrei kedusha in the presence of filth. Let's see. Omalim. What's that? Oh, okay. So let's see. So Omar Rav Chisda heard that, he was shocked. He said, Ho Elokim, by Hashem, he swore. Im amara li Rabbi Yochanan bepomei. Rav Huna quoted this from Rabbi Yochanan, right? So Rav Chisda said, even if I would hear this directly from Rabbi Yochanan, lo yitzayasna le, I wouldn't listen to him, chas v'sholem, to recite Kriyat Shema in the presence of filth, chas v'sholem. Ikedamri, a different version of this back and forth was that it wasn't Rav Huna citing Rabbi Yochanan, rather Omar Rabba Bar Barchana, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabba Bar Barchana quoted Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi as saying the same thing. If a person is walking through a filthy street, meniach yodei al piv, you cover your mouth, v'koyri Kriyat Shema, and you recite Kriyat Shema. So Omar le Rav Chisda. So also here Rav Chisda says as well, Im amara li Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi b'pomei, your citing Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is saying that you can recite Kriyat Shema while you're walking through a filthy street, even if Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would tell me that directly, lo yitzayasna le, I wouldn't listen to him. You certainly cannot. So now we have to understand what is the understanding behind this halacha. So the first thing he said was, you cover your hand with your mouth. That already kind of makes it a little better. How's that? So the Mefarshim adds, doesn't just mean covering your hand with your mouth, it means that you also recite it very low, such that it can't be heard by anybody. Maybe you'll hear it in your own ears, but nobody else hears it. You cover your hand with your mouth, such that the speech, what you're saying, doesn't manifest outwardly. And therefore, it's like it's not being said in the presence of the filth. A hand certainly is not a mechitza. But the point is that where the filth is, you can't see anything going on. Right? But what does that help? Lamaisa, you're in the presence of filth. So let's see. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. So what is the idea here? How could this possibly be? Could Rav Huna have possibly said this? That you can recite Kriyat Shema while walking through a filthy street? Rav Huna said an extreme thing. He said, Talmid Chacham Asu Loilam Oidim Kremati Neufes. It's forbidden for a Talmud Chacham to stand in the presence of filth. Because a Talmud Chacham can't distract himself from the Divrei Torah. Meaning a person has to go to the bathroom, a person has to go to the bathroom. Fine. But otherwise we say, if a person is a Talmud Chacham, he should know that he's not allowed to hang around filthy areas, because he's always got Torah going through his mind. It's hard for him to get it off his mind, and therefore he shouldn't hang around filthy areas. You have to go to the bathroom, you go in, you go out. So whatever it is, we see Rav Huna certainly does agree with the concept that you're not allowed to say any form of tefillah or Torah in the presence of filth. So what's going on here? So the Gemara says, and here's really the point, loikash, it's not a contradiction. Of course everybody agrees that you're not allowed to recite any sort of davening or tefillah or Torah in the presence of filth. But kan be'oimim, Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan, all these sages are saying that that's only if you're standing there. If you're standing stationary, then it's forbidden. Kan be'mahalich. But if you're on the go, then it's okay. If you're in motion when you're passing through a filthy area, that's okay. That's the fundamental distinction that they're drawing here. You're standing in a place of filth, that's not allowed. to say Divrei Kedusha. We're on Daf Chof Hei Omid Beis, halfway Chof Dalet Omid Beis. I'm sorry, halfway through the bottom wide lines, about 10 lines up from the bottom. So we'll explain in a minute. But first, let's get this distinction clear. What this Shita is saying is that to be standing in the presence of filth, it's certainly also to say Divrei Torah or Tefillah. To be walking through is okay. Now, what difference should that make? What's the difference?
Running through would be
even better. What's that? No. According to this Shita, as long as you're moving, you can be going at a snail's pace as long as you're moving. What's the point? What's the idea? So the Rashba explains it like this. The Rashba says, what is the source for the prohibition to recite Divrei Kedusha in the presence of filth? It's because the Torah says, V'hoyo machanecha kodesh, and your camp should be holy. Meaning, your placement, your place should be holy. So the Rashba says, these shittas hold that your place is only called the place where you're standing. If you're on the go, it's not called your place. You're not settled anywhere right now. A place by definition, the camp, okay? Camp by definition is a place where I've stationed myself. As long as you haven't stationed yourself, it's not your place. You're just passing through. If it's not your place, yes, you're in the presence of filth, but that's not what the Torah prohibited. The Torah prohibited to say, Divrei Kedusha in a place where you are stationed. Right? They're going very literal with the words of the pasuk. Machanecha kodesh. Your encampment, the place where you station yourself, must be kodesh. But as long as you don't station yourself there, it's okay. So therefore, as long as you're walking through, the prohibition doesn't apply. What's that? No, in this sense, encampment means your location. Your location. When you're walking, it's not called that you have a location. What's that? A person who stands there. A person stands there. Standing there is called stationing yourself there.
Makes the issue of the sewer anyway.
Standing there. Standing. That's called...
If you're standing to use a bathroom, now maybe this place...
Yes. While you're standing there, it's your place. Move out of your place. Your place in line. Did you actually go, you know, register in the municipality that this is now my place for the next 15 minutes? You have a place. You're standing somewhere. That's your place for the time. So they're saying that with regard to this also. The Torah says, your place should be holy. But that's only if it's your place. Yeah. If you aren't in a place, if you're on the move, this doesn't apply. What's that?
There are plenty of streets in India like this.
What's that? In India?
Yeah.
Could you say the place changes every second?
What's that?
As you go?
If you stop. If you stop.
No,
as long as the person is moving.
The whole, street, right?
He's not in that place. He's not
so
stationed in that place.
It's changing.
No, it's according to this sheet that was saying that it's not called that you're stationed anywhere. You're not stationed anywhere. Oh, very similar to that idea. That's right. Exactly. It's very similar to that idea. That a person's place is called the Dalai Lama around him. And there's a lot of halachas where this idea will come into play there too. That's right. I also thought of it in those terms.
Wait, so when you're moving, do you have Dalai Lama?
What's that?
So if you're moving, do you really have your Dalai Lama?
When a person is moving on Shabbos, as far as carrying goes.
Shabbos, yeah. It seems like he doesn't have
a
Dalai Lama.
Oh, so they're saying, yeah, when a person is moving, he doesn't have a place. He's not settled on a place. Yeah, that's what we're saying here.
So when he stops in the traffic light, he has to stop saying Shema.
That's right. But the truth is, we'll see. We don't rule in accordance with this opinion anyways. Right. But we're just explaining this opinion meanwhile. Okay.
So other than camping, just the fact that you're saying that we should push it close to a tonight, is not a problem?
Yeah, that's what this Shita is saying. What's the puzzle? According to the Shita, no. The whole basis is the puzzle. V'hoya machanecha kadosh. Machanecha implies a proper emplacement. Otherwise, it doesn't count. According to the Shita, again, we had Rav Chisda who said nothing doing, right? He said, I don't care who tells me, I wouldn't listen. But this is this Shita. So now, okay. By the way, I'll get back to what you said before about India. There's something to note about that too. We'll get there. Now, Umi Omar Rabbi. Now, so the first person we quoted as saying this was Rav Huna. We explained that no, it doesn't conflict. Certainly, he holds the idea that you're not allowed to even think Divrei Torah in a filthy place. But if you're on the go, you're okay. Now, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Halchi, but 1 minute, Rabbi Yochanan also was quoted as saying this, that if you're on the go, you can say Divrei Kedusha. Va'omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabba Bar Bar Chana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Bekol Malkoi Mutel Lahar Her B'Divrei Torah. You are allowed to think Divrei Torah anywhere, Chutz Mi Beis HaMerchatz Mi Beis HaKisei, except for a bathhouse or a bathroom.
Isn't there a source that says that David HaMelech was in a bathhouse and he was enjoying the fact that he had a milah?
Yes. On the contrary, that supports what we're discussing here. How does it begin, that Ma'amar Chazal? David HaMelech was in the bathhouse.
He was sad that he couldn't
do any mitzvahs.
But nonetheless, when you're dwelling on the milah, that itself is learning. Thinking and learning.
You know what? We'll touch on a similar point. Let's see. So Rabbi Yochanan said, you're not allowed to even think about Torah and in a bathhouse or a bathroom. Bathroom meaning a place where there's filth. So here also, how can he say that when you're walking through a filthy street you can say Kriya Shema? V'chitem, so what will you tell me? Oh, we know the answer already. Ha'chenami. Here also we'll distinguish and we'll say Kambe oimid kambe mahalech. It depends if you're walking or standing still. Oh, very good. We know the answer. Yes. If you're standing still, you can't think about Torah in a bathroom. But if you're walking, it's fine. But we're going to show that no, with Rabbi Yochanan, even that won't work. Ini, is that so? Rabbi Avo was once walking along behind Rabbi Yochanan. Vavi kokori Kriya Shema. And he was reciting Kriya Shema on the go. And when they reached a dirty street, ishtik, he stopped, he paused until they passed the street. So when they got out of the street, right, gave a breath of relief, he said he wanted to resume reciting Kriya Shema. So he said to Rabbi Yochanan, I was in the middle of Kriya Shema, I stopped the middle, right, now I want to resume. Where should I continue from? Should I continue from where I left off, or should I go back to the beginning? Omar le, so Rabbi Yochanan told him, well, depends how long you pause for. Im shahiso kedei ligmar es kula. If you pause in the middle of Kriya Shema for long enough to say the whole Kriya Shema, chazor l'rosh, you have to go back to the beginning. I mean, this is an idea that we saw earlier, that if a person pauses in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei or Kriya Shema for long enough time that it takes to recite Shemoneh Esrei or Kriya Shema respectively, that's called breaking it up, right? You broke it up, you completely finished your previous recitation, now you have to go back to the beginning. So whatever it is, that's not our point right now, that's parenthetical here. But the main point is that Rabbi Avol is asking Rabbi Yochanan what to do. This is Rabbi Yochanan who supposedly said that you can just say Kriya Shema on that filthy street on the go. But here, Rabbi Yochanan seems to have, you know, Rabbi Avol was with Rabbi Yochanan. He stopped saying Kriya Shema, and Rabbi Yochanan seems to have held that he was right. So the Gemara says no.
It says, you see, Rabbi Yochanan, for he was reciting Shema, you want passing to a filthy place. If you don't know that, Rabbi Avol, he stopped.
Right.
All Rabbi Yochanan is telling him is what to do when he stopped.
Very good. Very good. So you're pointing out a good point, which is what the Gemara is going to say now. Did Rabbi Avol ask Rabbi Yochanan if he should stop? Didn't ask Rabbi Yochanan if he should stop? He stopped. Afterwards, he said to Rabbi Yochanan, what do I do now? Rabbi Yochanan told him, so it depends how long you're interrupted for. But where do you see here any indication that Rabbi Yochanan hold that he had to stop in the first place? So the Gemara says, what Rabbi Yochanan meant to say was, I don't hold of this whole business. According to me, you should have just continued Kriya Shema. Don't worry about the film. Plug your nose and continue saying it. Lididach, this viralach. You do hold that you have to stop while you're walking through the filthy street. Okay? So im shahisa kedei ligmar es kula, you hold that you have to stop. Fine. So if you waited long enough to finish the whole thing, chazar l'roish, you have to go back to the beginning.
Based on
this, what are we paskin today? So lemaisa, we don't rule in accordance with this sheet, that we paskin that even when you're walking through, you're not allowed to recite Kriya Shema. As we saw, it's a machlokes, right? Rav Chisda very strongly opposed this whole approach. And we follow the opinion of Rav Chisda that no, certainly you're not allowed to recite any sort of Divrei Kedusha or even think Divrei Kedusha while you're walking through a filthy place.
Isn't walking while saying the Shema itself problematic?
No, that we've learned earlier, that the first two psukim of Kriya Shema you have to be standing still, but after that you can be walking.
There's two psukim, the Shema Yisrael and
then...
Yeah.
Is the problem the filthy place that it smells, or that it's just dirty?
Either one. Oh, right. So the truth is that the sight of feces is a problem even if it doesn't smell, as we'll see soon. And the smell is a problem even if you can't see it. And either one is a problem, as we'll learn soon.
Perhaps you can see an outhouse from there or something.
What's that?
Perhaps you can see like an outhouse from the field. You're talking about Mincha, and due west is both the coastal and the outhouse.
No, if you're talking in contemporary terms, seeing a bathroom from the outside is not a problem. In those days, an outhouse meant an area that was completely saturated with stuff. And it also wasn't like a structure, right? It was just a place where they went out. I mean, you're mamish exposed to the feces.
Without a house.
Exactly, it was out without the house. So as long as you're exposed to the out, as long as you're exposed to the feces itself, you're not allowed to say Kriya Shema, as long as you could see it.
Sometimes, you know, passing by one of the roads here, and after they fertilize, it stinks for many, many miles, without
a,
say,
Kriya Shema. Oh, so everything that we're discussing right now is human feces. Human feces. How it works with animal feces, we'll see. Human feces is considered one of the most problematic forms of feces. Animals is not as bad. The truth is that if you have that quantity of human feces, the way they fertilize the field, you wouldn't be able to be anywhere in the vicinity. The cow stuff you could still live with, but we'll see. We'll see as we get later. The truth is, there's good reason for that. Chavis Havava says that we should note that. That human feces, human waste is the most disgusting of waste. The human body, right?
Chicken waste is pretty bad too.
Oh, we're going to see. Very good. Chicken waste is also more problematic than other animals. We'll see.
Dogs, the smell.
What's that? We'll see about dogs. Dogs is a level down. We'll see. We'll see. We'll get there. But human waste and human filth in general is a lot more putrid than with animals. For example, human waste, right? Human being. All of us are inherently very, very putrid creatures. It's just that we're busy scrubbing ourselves every 24 hours, right, to make sure the human body after death, right, after a little bit of time, is one of the most repulsive things there is. I don't know if you, did you ever deal with it at that stage? You did.
All right.
Yeah. So, the Chavis Salama says that that's for the purpose of keeping us humble. A person should remember who he is, right? If a person starts feeling a little too haughty, should remember what you are in potential. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But he
asked him a question that was connected to the Kriya Shema. That's A. That wouldn't be a hefsek anyway. That would be mutar. That's mutar lechatchila. But even in the event that you speak in the middle of Kriya Shema in a forbidden way, you wouldn't have to go back. You wouldn't have to go back.
This point that you can't continue to move when you're saying the first person seems to be a good passion, not still. I mean, that's still in and of itself.
Right. No, see, he was apparently he had said his first two psukim a couple of streets back, and he was walking with the rest of Kriya Shema. Okay, another point that you raised before. And the truth is a general question. Let's start with a more basic question. We saw here that it's forbidden to even think in Divrei Torah, certainly not to recite any form of Divrei Torah davening when you're in the bathroom. So Reb Nosson is asking, I have a medrash that says that David HaMelech, he was in the bathhouse, and he was thinking to himself, oh, I have no mitzvahs. Can't do any mitzvahs now, and not only that, I'm not even wearing clothing. Usually I have my tefillin, my tzitzis, I have nothing on now. And then he looked down at his mila, and he said, oh, Baruch Hashem, you know, I there's one mitzvah that's still with me here. So is that not thinking Divrei Torah? And the answer is no. A person is allowed to think what we might call Divrei Musar, that are not Torah per se. Meaning, for example, the Chafetz Chaim, the Mishnah Berurah writes, that a person is in the bathroom, a person can be thinking about self-perfection. A person can be thinking about you know, how he's going to deal with the next spiritual challenge that comes his way, as long as he's not actually thinking halachas, right? And the Sfarim write, they infer, I forgot what the source is, but I don't even know if it needs a source, that a person is allowed to be thinking about Hashem also. It's a mitzvah to think about Hashem, right? Should be conscious of Hashem at all times. I don't know. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that a person should mamish be focusing on the midas of Hashem, etc. You're going to be getting into Torah. Also, you're going to focus a little too hard and in depth. You're going to, your different psukim, etc., come to mind. But we're talking about in a general way. Consciousness of Hashem, or consciousness of spirituality, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about divrei Torah, as in Torah points, Torah thoughts, halachas, lessons of Chazal, etc. But just to be thinking about Torah reality, if we'll put it that way, or spiritual reality, in a not very in-depth sort of way, that yes.
There's one of them has to be conscious of. The fact that you can't.
What's that? The fact that you can't. Even that, I shouldn't be thinking too much into the details. Just don't. But it says that the truth is that it was hard. Today, we're not faced with that challenge. We hear about Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. Before he entered the bathroom, he had to sit for a while to get his mind, the wheels in his mind, to stop turning. The whole time he had terror running through his mind. He said he was challenging this. He would have to like pace back and forth outside the bathroom a little bit just to stop the wheels, then he would go in. Yeah, right. So Mishabur Lamaisa says sometimes you have a person who, like we saw before, the Gemara's assumption is that a Talmud Chacham can't manage to get his mind off these things. He's so obsessed, right? So the Mishabur Taka says that if a person can't, he can't. You know, he just tried to do it as quickly as he can in the bathroom. But you know, the poor man can't get his mind off it. So you try to do your thing quickly and leave. But you know, if he's an Inus, he can't help himself. So okay, it's okay. In fact, there's another even more interesting thing that it says in the place. The Mishabur says, what happens if a person's in the bathroom and he suddenly starts having the wrong thoughts? Starts thinking about a woman and starts feeling things. But the place can say, think some Torah. Right? That's the classic thing. The classic Eitzah that the place can use to distract yourself. How do you get things out of your mind? You think about you think about Divrei Torah. So you're allowed to think about Divrei Torah in the bathroom in order to banish the wrong thoughts from your head.
Lesser two evils?
What's that?
Lesser two
you, I guess you'd put it that way. In the bathroom, yeah. What's that? If you can do that, yeah. What's that person can? What's that? There's a machloikis poiskim. If a person, you're raising an interesting question. What happens if the person's already thinking it? Maybe you can say it too, right? So there's a machloek in the poiskim. Let's say, for example, in the case of a Talmud Chacham who can't get his mind off it. We said it's okay, right? Can't get his mind off it, it's okay. So once he can't get his mind off it, can he talk already? Right? He has his chavrusas waiting outside and they're yelling back and forth, right? They're still busy discussing the sugya. He's going to be thinking about it anyways. Some poiskim say yes. You have it on your mind anyways, there's no difference. You can articulate it. At something else. It's a difference in the effectiveness of learning. But as far as the Din Talmud Torah, Din, is it called learning or not? Say, learning that you articulate is more effective. But as far as it being Torah, thinking also is Torah.
But
I'll just note that that's a machloikis though. Others say that no. Even if you can't help but think it, still doesn't mean you can articulate it. So Lamaisa, we would say that it's better not to articulate, but if it takes articulating in order to banish the wrong thoughts from your mind, you could articulate it too.
Sometimes in the washroom, all the times in the washroom, I can actually hear the shiur being given because the walls are very thin.
So here also, this would mamish be the same idea. You would try to tune yourself out. You would try to tune yourself out, but if you can't, then once again, it's a manifestation of the halacha that if a person can't clear his mind, because he has people yelling.
Maybe make the water run the water so you don't hear it.
Might be an answer. I hear that.
There's some shuls where the bathroom is very close. Where the bathroom is very close, and you can hear everything in the bathroom.
Same idea. So the truth is,
maybe consider it known as that point.
Probably. I mean, why not? Yeah.
Maybe if you could plug ears,
right? Try to do that. Meaning, as long as it doesn't involve an actual pasuk, statement of Chazal or halacha, you're just thinking in general, this is what I should be doing.
If you're allowed, you can do that.
That allows
you to have a musar book.
What's that? So the thing with that is that inevitably any Jewish musar book is going to have all kinds of real Torah ideas there. You can't really get away from that.
Is that halacha that you can take musar in the washroom?
Again, when we say musar, we mean in the most light form, meaning just in general to be thinking, I have to be on guard, I'm still in the presence of Hashem now, etc. Right? You're supposed to manifest all of Hashem. Yeah.
What musar book are you talking
about? What's that? That's what I was saying, practically none. Think about just the concept. Look what Hashem is doing for me right now. Oh, very good, that's right. When the truth is, that's a good way to utilize the time in the bedroom. When you are busy ejecting the waste in your body, focus a little bit on the fact that right now you're feeling Hashem at work in your body. You feel Hashem caring for you. That's a very serious business. I was once on a plane, and somebody told me, plane is always a great time for right theological discussions and stuff. Yeah, as long as you're not with kids. But you just come by someone, I was a bacher. You're sitting next to somebody for 12 hours, you're going to have to discuss something. So, I was talking about with a non-observant Jew, and he was like interested. And he said, you know, if I were to have a mystical experience, he said, if I would have an experience with God, I would believe. Then I would believe. Shkoyach. But that was what he said. Right? So I told him, I did. So he looked at me with wide eyes, and what's he about to hear? I told him, on this flight, I had a personal experience with God. I was in the bathroom. Yeah. And everything went okay. Okay. So waiting for the punchline, I said, that's all. The guy looked at me, he didn't know what I was talking about. And I didn't think I was going to really manage to explain to him either. But the truth is, you have to think about that.
Where is he today?
You go to the bathroom. What's that?
Where is he today?
Oh, today is one of the most finest... No, I don't know. Probably in the same place. Probably in the same place. I don't know. Yeah, we'll hope that he is. But the truth is that's really what it is. When a person is in the bathroom, that's what Asher Yotzar is, a long bracha. You focus on the fact that Hashem, from up in Shemayim, the Kisei HaKavod, is busy caressing your body, right? Making sure that your body is working on the inside. Focus on that for a minute. Hashem, from His Kisei HaKavod, from His heavenly throne, what's He busy with? Making sure the inside of your body is working out okay. It's a complicated business going to the bathroom from a biological perspective. You had to be on top of it. It would be a serious business. You have to worry. Rabbi Ruchem Lavovit said, you have to send a letter to your loved ones every time you come out, telling them you're okay. Right? But yes. Use the time to experience what's going on. Focus on the experience. Hashem is actively taking care of you right now. Okay. One other point. That is, how does this work with modern day bathrooms? Like that's a classic question. How does this work with modern day bathrooms? Modern day bathroom is not a filthy place. Often it can be a very, very sterilized place. You suddenly walk into these bathrooms, you get a smell of alcohol or whatever it is. What's with the modern day bathroom? So the basis of the question is really based on a Gemara that we'll see at the end of the parak, which says that there was a certain type of bathroom where the waste immediately, it was structured so that the waste rolled away immediately. It wasn't there. So that such a place doesn't have the halachic status of a bathroom. So the question is, what about our toilets? So the Chazon Ish's conclusion is that it's not so clear. Meaning, what's the question? The question is, on the one hand, yes, our toilets might be clean places to an extent, but the difference between that and the bathroom that the Gemara describes is called the Persian bathroom, right, where the waste rolls away immediately, is that in our bathrooms it's not quite like that. The waste sits first and you have to flush it. That might take away its status as a Persian bathroom, meaning it first sits. On top of that, the place can point out that at the end of the day, with all the sanitary conditions, etc., when you look into a toilet, it's not always, right? There's a reason why they clean toilets, right? So therefore, the Meister, the Poiskim, say that you should the our bathrooms today should be considered bathrooms for halachic purposes.
Are there leniencies if you have to bring, let's say, tefillin with you?
There may be. We've already seen that when it comes to tefillin, there are ways of doing it if there's a need. Like, let's say you're in the airport bathroom. What's that?
Just take tefillin off.
No, so we've already seen it. Once you have it, you know, double wrapped. If you're in the airport, you can take your tefillin in your hand luggage. It's inside your handbag. Take your tefillin into the bathroom with you. And truth is, even if you would need to, you'd be able to take it directly in, since you need to protect it. When you're in a place where you need to have the tefillin with you, otherwise it gets stolen or whatever it is, you can take it into the bathroom. That's even if it's not our bathrooms. But there may be room in different situations, whatever, some sort of extenuating circumstances to treat our bathrooms a bit more leniently. But in general, yes, we do consider our bathrooms for all these purposes. Okay, we'll move on. So lemaisa, we have this machlokes. Can a person recite Torah, tefillah, if he's on the go, walking through a filthy area? So the Gemara concludes, Tanya kava seder Rav Huna, Tanya kava seder Rav Chisda. We have a Braisa supporting Rav Huna's opinion, and we have a Braisa supporting Rav Chisda's opinion. You know, a Braisa supporting each. It was already debated by the Tanoim. Tanya kava seder Rav Huna. We have a Braisa supporting Rav Huna, then it's okay. Hamahalich b'mavoyes hamtunafis, if a person is walking through a filthy street, Meniach yodoy alpiv, so he should cover his mouth with his hand. Viyikra kriyashma, you recite kriyashma, like these opinions said above. Tanya kava seder Rav Chisda, but then we have a brisa supporting Rav Chisda. No, it's no good. Brisa says this other brisa, haya mahalich b'mavayas hametun office. If you're walking through a filthy street, lo yikra kriyashma, do not recite kriyashma. And not only that, if a person is already in the middle of Kriyashma and then he reaches this filthy street, paisik, you must stop, as we saw Rabbi Avod, not like these other shitas. What's that? And that's how we paskin. You must stop, and he's certainly not allowed to begin any sort of divrei Torah or tefillah when you're passing through a filthy area. Now, loy pasak mai. What happens if a person did not? A person did say these divrei kedusha in the bathroom. Omar Rabbi Miyasha, Marbred Rabbi Shav ben Levi. Rabbi Miyasha, this grandson of Rabbi Shav ben Levi, said, Olav akasuv oimer, regarding such a person, it says, V'gamani nosati lohem chukim loy toivim, I have given them statues that are no good, u'mishpatim lo yichyu bahem, laws that they will not live by. Meaning, sometimes the Torah, the mitzvahs that are meant to be our means of ultimate life, can actually work against a person. They can be to his detriment. Here, you're doing mitzvahs in a way that's going to get you in trouble. It does seem to be that way. Yeah, meaning the fact that the later Amiroim are, you know, adopting Rav Chisda's approach does seem to indicate that, and that is indeed the halacha. Rabbi Asi Omar, he says another pasuk, Hoy moishchei ha'avoyin bechavlei hashav, woe to those who pull upon themselves with ropes sin. Okay, but the way the pasuk is worded is, they pull upon themselves sin with no ropes, meaning ropes of nothingness. Meaning, Tosis explains it this way: this avera, it's such a shame, because usually a person does a sin. Why? It's because he was tempted. Right? What's the temptation here? There's no temptation at all. Like a mitzvah, you're told not to do the mitzvah. Just why a person? Sometimes people are overly spiritual. This person wants to be saying psukim even in the bathroom. Now this mitzvah is getting you into trouble. What's that? Doesn't help. Right? The truth is that if you do say psukim in this sort of situation, you're anyways not yotze. It won't help.
What about where is this pasuk found that we just quoted?
What's that? What, this last pasuk? Yeah. Yeshaya.
Yeshaya.
Yeshaya. Yeah. You can use the mitzvahs to get yourself into trouble too. This is one example of that. Avada bar Ava Omar Mehoch. Avada bar Ava said the following pasuk: Ki dvar Hashem baza, because he has what's the word? It's more than disgrace. It's a stronger word. There's a stronger word for it. He, to really put it down, degraded the word of Hashem. What's that? Yeah, like mocked it. Yeah. So
disgraced.
Yeah, meaning you took Hashem's word and you dragged it through the mud. Now, the place can note this last pasuk. This last pasuk is a lot more ominous than the previous ones. Because this last pasuk, first of all, it's a pasuk from the Torah, it's from Amidbar, and it continues, and it says, "Hikareis tikareis hanefesh ahi." That soul will be cut off from its nation. Now, simply understood, that pasuk is talking about a person who, about a blasphemer. But the Gemara is applying it here to a person who recites Divrei Kedusha in a situation of filth, and it calls it Kidvar Hashem Baza. And the Rabbeinu Yoin and others say, which apparently the Gemara is applying the continuation of that pasuk also, such a person will be cut off. And
is therefore, that literally cursed?
So Rabbeinu Yoin understands it that way. The place can cite this. What's that? So I don't know what to say. But these Paiskim do seem to understand this as a de'araisa transgression of degrading the word of Hashem, of disgracing the word of Hashem, which actually incurs karas. Again, we have to realize Hashem kiveyachol took a big risk. We don't appreciate what's being put into our hands when Hashem gave us the right to articulate His name, the right to say His Torah. We don't realize the nuclear power we're dealing with. If you go and mess that up, it's an immense sacrilege. Right? How you say Hashem's name. We say it nonchalantly, who knows how many times throughout davening. Who knows how many times. The truth is, the place can say, really, a person should tremble before he says the name. You know what Yud Kei Vav Kei is? There's a difference between Adoy, when we say Adoy, and Elikim. Elikim does not necessarily denote Hashem. Elikim means God. You could say it about a false god also, Elohim Acherim. But Adoy or Yud Kei Vav Kei, what we're actually expressing when we're saying that, is something else. It doesn't mean God. You wouldn't translate the word God as such thing as a false Adoy. Kiviyachol is a personal name. It's, so to speak, Hashem's personal name, Hashem's first name. Now Hashem says, I want you to relate to me on a first name basis. It's a mind-boggling thought when you think about it that way. I want you to relate to me, Kiviyachol, on a first name basis because of how close we are. We have to be very careful. You have to realize that this is something you really have to handle with care. We don't have the capacity to really have the awe that they felt in earlier times every time they expressed the name.
But say
what's that?
That's
true. But even so, we do change it because we're not allowed to actually articulate Yud Kei Vav Kei at this period in history. But nevertheless, even when we change it for Adoy, it is still already what we call from the specific names of Hashem. Yes, it could be that the word Adoy can also simply denote, you know, masters in plural, but here it turns into what's that? Adonai, right? It would be right.
When did that change?
What's that?
When did that change?
When did it? When will it change? You mean?
When will it? When did it? When did it stop? When did it start again?
It will change lo asid lohoy at the end of time. But in this world, we don't say Yud Kei Vav Kei. So that's what we're saying. We're saying here, you were given something immense. Be very careful. Handle it with a lot of care.
You never said Yud Kei Vav Kei?
What's that? In the time of the Beis Hamikdash, the Kohen Gadol did. The Kohen Gadol said Yud Kei Vav Kei. I don't know how it worked in Mamish the earlier times, but in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, the Kohen Gadol said it on Yom Kippur. That's what we describe. When he actually said it, again, the people were in so much awe because of the charge that was going on. Everybody fell on their face when he said it. Right? When the Kohen Gadol actually articulated the name, everybody fell on their face. That's what we describe in Yom Kippur.
And when Hashem introduced himself in Har Sinai, what did he say?
And then he used the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yeah. Okay. Now, the imposak maschore. If you did stop, what's your reward? Omer Abiyavo, Olav Akosuv Oimer. Meaning, a person was saying Kriyashma, he came to a filthy area, he stopped. What's the reward? Ubadovar azeh tarichu yamin. For this thing, you will have lengthy days. Or more literally, for this word. Meaning, because you were careful to treat this word right, you'll have lengthy days. So we come back to the point that we mentioned the other day. We have to realize that these are not just technicalities. The care that you take to avoid expressing any sort of divrei kedusha or tefillah in an inappropriate situation is not just fulfilling the specific halacha. Here you're fulfilling the sublime purpose of showing honor for Hashem, which is basically, in a way, everything we're meant to do in this world. You're being mekayem the mitzvah of being mechabed Hashem. You're showing honor for Hashem by doing that. You show your reverence for Hashem. It's a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yirat Shamayim, showing your awe and reverence by stopping. So the stopping itself is an act of immense value. You have to realize that. Or the care you take to avoid saying any of these things in the wrong circumstances is something of immense value. You're fulfilling the mitzvah of fearing Hashem's name, of reverence for Hashem. Okay, we'll begin the next sugya. So what's the bottom line here? Bottom line here is that no, we don't accept, we introduce the very novel idea that to be reciting Divrei Kedusha while you're on the go in a filthy area is okay. L'maisa, we don't accept it, la'alocha. You're not allowed to speak, think, etc. Any form of Divrei Torah, Kedusha, Tefillah in the presence of filth. Okay. Omar Rav Huna. I begin a new discussion. Rav Huna said, if you have your sheet wrapped around your waist, you're covered from waist down, you're allowed to say Kriya Shema, meaning even though the rest of you is not covered, as we've already discussed in the past, essentially all that has to be covered is your nakedness.
That's, in other words, you don't even need the letter of the law, pants.
Right.
You need underwear.
Right.
Underwear.
Suit. What's that? Right. Now again, we just. What's that?
Like between. What's the difference in like boxers or.
No difference. Anything that covers the nakedness will do. Now, Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a brisa corroborating this. Hoysa taliso shel beged. If a person has a sheet of fabric, shel or, of leather, shel sak, of sackcloth, chagur le'al masnaf, is wrapped around his waist, muta likreis kriyashma. You're allowed to recite kriyashma. Avol itfila, for when it comes to tfila, to shmen esrei, adchi yechaseh slibay. No, that's not good enough. You have to be properly covered. You have to have your heart covered as well. You have to be properly covered. You have to have the upper torso covered as well. This came up the other day, right? So, because, what's that? Outside of Shemoneh Esrei. Outside of Shemoneh Esrei. What's that? Oh, no. So we'll see. We're going to discuss this more at length tomorrow. But no, it really means that you have to be properly covered. We'll see.
Even pants is not enough for the Amidah.
No. Right. The person has to be properly covered. What's that? Sufficient of Esrei, we'll see. No, that's not sufficient. Really, the body has to be properly covered.
Pajamas.
We'll get to that. What's that?
Or regular pajamas. You're covered completely. It's not glamorous. It's not.
Presumably, Ikra Din it would be okay. Discuss it more at length tomorrow.
Okay,
presumably, Ikra Din would be okay for Shemana Esrei. As long as the person is properly covered.
But,
right. Now, so that's as far as Shemoneh Esrei goes. They have to be properly covered. For Kriya Shema, though, or put it this way, for anything other than Shemoneh Esrei, we're saying that essentially it's okay as long as your nakedness is covered. However, your nakedness is covered. What's that?
Why is the Shema to the Doraisa? Why is that?
Oh, you're asking why is Shemoneh Esrei treated more severely if Kriya Shema is Doraisa and Shemoneh Esrei is not. So 1 minute. We'll get to that in a minute. But I just have to note, that yes, when it comes to other brachas and Kriya Shema as well, this is certainly acceptable only in pressing circumstances, meaning when you don't really have much of an option. It's not, you know, don't schedule your mincha in the gym, right? In between the courses, yeah.
Well, let's say I'm going swimming, and I'm coming out of the water, and whatever, I want to say Asher Yotzah, you can't say if you're wearing just swimming trunks.
So again, we're saying Me'ikra, then you could. You have to define for yourself how much difficulty is involved, right? How pressing the circumstances is. B'sha'as ad-chak. That's the way it's put in halacha. B'sha'as ad-chak. It also depends how long you're going to be getting dressed. Could be if you're going to be getting dressed, you know, in 5 minutes, you should wait. If you're going to be getting dressed in another hour, maybe not. Okay, now Reb Nosson's question. Reb Nosson asked, how come Kriyat Shema, which is Deraisa, is more lenient than Shemoneh Esrei, which is Derabana? And the answer is in the nature of the two things. Kriyat Shema, who are you talking to when you're saying Kriyat Shema? You're not talking to Hashem, you're talking to yourself. Kriyat Shema is an issue of internalizing. That's what Kriyat Shema is about. You are internalizing the fundamentals that Kriyat Shema contains. You're not telling Hashem, listen Hashem, you're only one. That's not what Kriyat Shema is. You're telling yourself. You're reminding yourself. That's what Kriyat Shema is. And you are committing to yourself. Etc. Right? Shemoneh Esrei is a different story. Shemoneh Esrei is facing Hashem. Therefore, we've actually seen that there are deraisas regarding Shemoneh Esrei, even though Shemoneh Esrei itself is derabanan. Well, once you are getting up, you might not essentially be required to daven Shemoneh Esrei, but if you are getting up to actually converse with Hashem, then you mechuyev mi deraisa to act appropriately. Right? You don't want to come to the king, don't come to the king, but if you come to the king, show up like a mensch. Right? So, that's why, yes, a person is davening Shemoneh Esrei in this sense, it's considered more stringent than other areas of tefillah. And you have to be properly dressed. We'll elaborate more on this tomorrow, Be'ezus Hashem.